From the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The scripture that we've been reading this evening from the Gospel of John is full of the unexpected. There's nothing normal about this dinner party that Jesus and the disciples are attending at the home of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. For starters, we're told that this dinner party is happening 6 days before the Passover, which in the Gospel of John puts it on the night before Palm Sunday. Jesus is on the cusp of the final days of his earthly life. And what does he do? He goes to a dinner party. And not just any dinner party, but one hosted by Lazarus, who the scripture kindly reminds us was recently raised from the dead. Now, since we didn't just read chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, we can be forgiven if we don't immediately recognize the craziness of Lazarus hanging out with Jesus at dinner. Lazarus had just recently been dead. Like really dead, like dead for 4 days dead. And then Jesus showed up and called him out of the tomb, and Lazarus came out alive. And now here he is eating dinner with Jesus. You know what eating dinner shows us? That Lazarus really is alive. He's not a ghost or a spirit, but Lazarus is a real living human being. Talk about unexpected. And all that before any real action even happens in our scripture. And once the action starts, things get even more unexpected. Mary takes a pound of very expensive perfume, and she anoints Jesus' feet with it, and she wipes his feet with her hair. There's all sorts of things unexpected about this act. Obviously, the cost of the perfume is questioned by Judas, even though we know it's for bad reasons. Mary is also going against the social customs of the time by anointing Jesus' feet. This would normally have been done by a man since Jesus was a man. And here was Mary, this woman, performing the anointing. But even more unexpected is the meaning behind Jesus' act. We're told she's preparing Jesus for burial, which means she's preparing Jesus for his death. Now for us, 2,000 years later, this isn't unexpected. After all, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is going to die and be resurrected. But for those at the dinner party that night, they didn't yet understand what was going to happen. And so imagine their thoughts and feelings when Mary does this. And then after Judas questions it, Jesus tells him that she has kept this perfume for the day of his burial. Death? That's not what the disciples were expecting at dinner. In fact, I wonder if they even thought that maybe it was a little bit rude that Jesus was talking about death in front of recently dead Lazarus. And yet, in the midst of all of this, as unexpected as it is, we see God at work. Because this is how God works. God works in the unexpected. God calls the unexpected. God works through the unexpected situations. God works in bringing life from death. The raising of Lazarus is just one example of God doing the unexpected, of bringing life from death. But God is always taking situations that seem dead, that seem hopeless, and bringing life and hope into them. God brings hope to the hopeless. God brings new life and new creation. God does the unexpected. God works through extravagant grace and abundant love. In the act of Mary, we witness an act of extravagant grace and abundant love. Even when we don't seem to deserve it, even when we fail time and time again, we have a God who is offering extravagant grace and abundant love to us. There's no cost too great. There's no act too big. God's grace is extravagant. God's love is abundant. This leads us to the last example of the unexpected work of God in this passage, that God would do the unexpected work of offering us salvation. As those who know the end of the story, we know that we are offered salvation through the death and resurrection of Christ, that this preparation for burial is also preparing Jesus for the unexpected work of salvation, the unexpected way that God would conquer even death so that we might be saved. Yet, this is exactly what God does. God works in the unexpected. God does the unexpected. God's love and grace is so great that God offers us salvation. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God defeats sin and death for us. God brings life from death. God gives extravagant grace and love. God offers us salvation through Christ. Now it's up to us to be open to the unexpected work of God. In our own lives, God is working in unexpected places. In our own lives, God is working through unexpected people. And so we pay attention so that we can experience the unexpected work of God. We become open and willing to do what God is calling us to, because very often the unexpected person that God is working through is us. As we inch closer and closer to Holy Week and to remembering the death of Jesus and celebrating his resurrection, we do so on the outlook for the unexpected work of God. We look for the places in our own lives where God is bringing life and newness and hope. We look for the places in our own lives where God is providing extravagant grace and abundant love. Where in your failings or your feelings of worthlessness or brokenness is God offering love and grace? We look for the places in our own lives where God is offering salvation. Where in your own life is God offering salvation? Where is God bringing you into healing and wholeness and redemption? As we move into communion, we're reminded that God shows up rather unexpectedly in the bread and the cup of communion. That when we partake in communion, we're participating in the unexpected work of God. That the unexpected work of God is that God would take these ordinary things of human life and use them to offer us extraordinary grace. The unexpected work that God welcomes all to this table. The unexpected work that reminds us that the body and blood of Christ has been given for us. But we really shouldn't be surprised, because our God is always doing the unexpected. From raising Lazarus from the dead to preparing for his own death, to defeating the power that death has over us, God does the unexpected. So pay attention and listen and participate to the unexpected work of God. We do that when we gather around this communion table. You remember the ways in which a few days after that dinner with Lazarus, Jesus gathered for another dinner with his disciples, gathered them around the table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We have gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Becky forward to help serve, and then I'll invite you all to come as you feel ready and prepared. Go forth to see and participate in the unexpected work of God. See the ways God brings new life from death. Experience God's abundant love and extravagant grace, and receive God's salvation. Go in peace. Amen.